kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
For us to consider today, and we're calling our teaching Let Our Heavenly Citizenship Prepare Us. Let Our Heavenly Citizenship Prepare Us. And I want to take this from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, and verses 17 to 21. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 17 to 21. Let our heavenly citizenship prepare us. Hallelujah. Well, it says here, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it might be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things in himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's interesting here, but God is not going to put our spiritual roots down in this world. And it's something that we have to consider very carefully if we want to be followers of Christ and overcomers. He's not going to let us put down our roots in this world. And when we find ourselves beginning to do this, we will find that the Holy Spirit will begin to come hard on us. And there are times when it will seem very unfair. It will seem, well, the world, they are blessed. They are building their lives, planning their futures. Why do I have to be so different? And that's really what we want to discuss today. Because there is a reason. And I know how the enemy tries to work, how he tries to think that we are being left out, we've been forgotten, or whatever it would be. No, we walk a completely different walk to how the world is walking, how your family is walking, to those who are not in Jesus Christ. So we need to bear that in mind as we look at this. And let's turn to our first scripture, which we all know very well. But turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, and I want to look at verse 2. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, after we present ourselves, our bodies, as living sacrifices, we place ourselves on that altar that he tells us to do. He then says and continues not to be conformed to this world. In other words, not to be like the world, live like the world and act like the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our minds have to be worked upon, renewed. And that is why God empowers us by the Holy Spirit, baptizes us in the Spirit, and gives us the Word of God, for faith comes by hearing this Word, so that our minds are renewed for the purpose that you can prove, can have wisdom, discernment, what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So your mind being worked on and changed is for God to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is that what you want in your discernment, in your walk, that what God is doing in transforming and changing, it is for the perfect will of God? And we know that the perfect will of God is to let our heavenly citizenship prepare us. That is the perfect will of God. Make no bones about it. What does 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15-17 tell us? 1 John chapter 2 verses 15-17, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world is passing away, and the lusts of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Here we have again, we're told clearly not to love this world. Not only to this world, but the things in the world. So all those things that are in the world, our gardens, our cars, our jobs, our education, whatever, he says, we are not to love those things of the world. Even our families, we have to put to one side as far as our affections go. That we love the Lord first and foremost. That is the basis and basics of discipleship. So he says, do not love the world or the things in it. If anyone loves the world, it's quite clear the love of the Father is not in that person. If you love the world, your heart is in it, you are not a new creation. You can confess, you can believe, you can read the Bible, you can pray. But if your heart is still in this world, the love of the Father is not in you. And this is why we're calling our teaching, let our heavenly citizenship prepare us. Because this prepares us for above, for where we are destined for and going. So that the love of the Father is in us. Because it cannot be otherwise if our hearts are in the world. And of course, this is why we have this story of Lot and his wife. And as God brought them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, she took back, as you know, and she turned into a pillar of salt because her heart was still in the world. And this is what happens if a confessing, believing Christian who confesses Christ, but their heart is still in the world, they become like a block of salt. They don't really have the life of the Spirit within them, the power of the Spirit within them. They're not being prepared for their heavenly citizenship. Clear things have happened to people. He says, for all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that is what the world we know is held by. The lusts of the flesh, I want, me, self. They're only happy when they buy things for themselves. They heap it upon themselves. And the world doesn't have to work at it. It comes as natural as breathing. The lusts of the eyes are always lusting for things, wanting things, never satisfied, striving for more. And of course, the pride of life. How the world loves to pride education and educated people, people who are recognizable. This is why there's such a lust today, and looking to celebrities and people of esteem and wealth and so on. There it is, the pride of life. It says it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And what is the will of God is to hate the things of the world. You're not a part of it. Now God can bless us, of course he does. He says he blesses us with houses and lands, brethrens, and persecutions. But we don't love it. We're not dependent upon it. And of course, God has to work this within our hearts and our affections. Remember, we're calling our teaching today, let our heavenly citizenship prepare us. So our heavenly citizenship above where we are in Christ should be preparing us each day as we walk by faith. And not by sight. So let's go back to Philippians chapter 3, which we're looking at. And let us now break it up, what we are looking at here. And it says in verse 17 of chapter 3, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So the apostle goes right to the root. He says that these people are the enemies of the cross. So he goes to the central point of the gospel. He goes to the central point in our lives, that we too take up our cross daily and follow Christ. This is what he's appealing to. And you have many who do not really savor the cross in their lives. They have very little understanding. They only ever see what Christ has achieved and done at Calvary. They are of the opinion, well, why do we have to bear our cross also? Why do we have to empty self when Christ has done it for us? He has won that victory for us. Why do we have to walk similar? Now, of course, they don't say it in so many words, but that is their attitude. That is their thinking. And there are many who think like that. There are many who are behind pulpits who think and preach like that. And the apostle goes right to the root and says that these are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. They can only embrace what points to the cross, and those who live it and preach, that's what we do. Our whole life points to the cross, and we embrace the cross. We take it up daily and follow the Lord for the purpose so that our citizenship can be revealed to us, not of this world, but of above. There is no finer way of working the world, the love of the world, to the world, out of your heart. There's no finer thing than the cross, which will deal with this. Hallelujah. That's why we can only embrace what points to the cross. And that is why we preach and teach the deeper life, because that is what points to it. And it's to those who live it, who preach it, who follow it, who are prepared to learn about it. And that's what the apostle says here. Join in following my example. That's what the apostle holds to and is preaching. And that's what he lives by. And he shows the marks of the cross in his life through the trials and the tests that he goes through. And he says, note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, whom I have told you often. So he was often warning them, telling them that there are many who do not walk the way of the cross. And I tell you, even weeping, he says, they are enemies of the cross. The body of Christ will have those who live by the way of the cross. Because those who don't have the power in their lives, they do not have the power of the baptism of the Spirit in their lives, and because the cross is left out. So the point is, what does your life point to? What are you revealing to the world, to your family, to those at work, or your ministry, whatever? What is your life pointing to? What is it revealing? Is it still in this world and the anxiety and unbelief and fear? Or is my life revealing my heavenly citizenship, which is being prepared? Do I know that a place has been prepared for me? That Christ has gone before, as he says, and prepares a place for us, for me? Does my life reflect that? Does the world see that? Or am I still caught up in worldly things, in depression, unbelief, a lack of the joy of the Lord, griping and moaning, talking like the world and acting like the world? We so easily do it. You don't even have it. And so we need a power that's working on our behalf. And we've said it. It's that cross that you take up daily and follow Christ. And the Holy Spirit, he will do the rest. Trust me. Well, it goes on. He says in verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. So he's saying here that they glory in their sin. They are blinded. And no finer example of this than those many, I have to say, who go along with the prosperity gospel. That's a fine example of what we're talking about here. These people are blinded. They're blinded to the fact that they too are to take up their cross daily and follow the Lord. They only ever see it from what Christ has done, what he's done for me. that I may prosper and live a good life and have what I want. And so Christ becomes like a spiritual Santa Claus. There are many who follow that way. I've seen some of these preachers and teachers on television, and their churches are literally bursting to the seams with people joining them and so on. But Jesus said, "Way, and few there be that find it." That is the broad way, and that is what they want. And they glory in their sin. They're blinded by it. Why? Because their minds are on earthly things. They have little insight, if anything, of the second coming of Christ, or their lives are preparing for the coming of the Lord, that their lives are preparing for to be those wise virgins. They have little insight and understanding, and in fact they believe that the church itself is going to restore the kingdom, its message, its blessings. There are many who hold to that view. There are many who are deceived by that teaching, that it's going to be the church restoring. It's going to be the church restoring democracy and bringing down the evil one, bringing down the corrupt politicians, and so on. It's a subtle form of teaching, and it's based on pride. And they do not read the scriptures, the Bible. They do not read what Christ says in Matthew 24. That there will be the great falling away in the last days, which is happening now. And part of that falling away is because God is shaking the heavens and the earth. Why? Because He is in control. He sits upon the throne. He raises good and evil. Everything is at His disposal. And we know that the deeper life teaching is very much preparing us for the coming of the Lord. And that is why we have to let our heavenly citizenship prepare us. If we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, the Spirit of God should be preparing us for all of that. Yet we're still bound so much by earthly things. And we're so worried and concerned about earthly things and political things and what's going on. We're too quick to believe reports, because we're still earthly minded. We still have the fears and unbelief that hold us. And we have to get delivered. And that is why you have got to keep the cross always, daily in your life. And that's why so many are not being prepared to be saints, to walk as wise virgins. They have no insight. They cannot even see the destruction that is coming, because they believe that the church will bring it and put it all right. This is a huge problem in America. That is why so many churches and Christendom there, and it goes around the world as well, unfortunately. What does it say in Romans 6 verse 21? Romans 6 and verse 21. What fruit did you have then in these things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So there you go. You're either slaves of sin or you're slaves of God. And that is what the Apostle Paul is raising there in that question. And that's why we should fear the end. We should be fearing the end of what is going to come to this world. When God brings all the armies of the Antichrist and brings it all to the time of Armageddon, when it's all going to fall and collapse, the end of this dispensation for this world is a fearful thing. And that is what it should work within us, so that we become heavenly minded. We see where our citizenship is and where it's preparing us. Well, it goes on in verse 20 back in Philippians 3. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there we are. This is exactly what I'm talking about. And this is what the apostle says. He says the end of is destruction, for whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. It's fearful. And he's talking to professing Christians. But he says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there we are. He said, if your citizenship is in heaven, there is something within you eagerly waiting for your Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not something that you have to work at. That is there within your heart and spirit. That is quickened to you. You see, the life of a Christian is first in heaven. It's not on the earth. Your salvation, your new birth took place in heaven first. That's where it has to be settled. And that's why we set our affections on things of above and not on the earth. And that is why our speech, our confession, our conversation, our faith, our belief is from heaven. It's not of this earth. The earth cannot teach you any of this. And yet we still look to it. We still rely upon it. When are we going to learn, brothers and sisters? What does it say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 to 7? You know this well. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 to 7. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Where? With Christ. Above. And here it is, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are of above. It is not wrong to say, I am not of this world. I am of another world, another kingdom. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then it goes on that we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ. There's your citizenship. It's in heaven. You are with him in spirit, in heart, in unity and oneness in heaven. And the apostle wants to encourage these Philippians that that is where their heart and affection should be. And that is what the cross does in our lives. Because the cross is death to the self-life. So that the new life that you have is a life that's seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that is why the cross deals with these earthly, sensual things in our lives that he's putting to death. Did you know the Holy Spirit is putting to death things in your life? He's renewing your mind first, and then it's put to death, whether it be fear, unbelief, lying upon the arm of the flesh, or looking to the world for answers and wisdom and guidance. How we so look to the world still to try and get that spiritual knowledge and understanding. And we listen to so many unregenerates who don't know the Lord, not born again. We try to get our knowledge and understanding from that source. We are foolish. That is not from heaven. It's sensual. It's from the earth. And that is why we need to be a discerning people, testing these things. And our citizenship, our conversation, our faith, everything is from above. It's not only good and it's right, but to have our heart in heavenly places. Because that's where our Savior dwells. He doesn't dwell on the earth. Not yet. He will do, where he'll rule and reign from Jerusalem, from spiritual Zion. But at the moment, he is in the heavens. Read Revelation 4, the description of him. And it's where we shall be with him soon. And we're going to be changed. Our lowly bodies are going to be changed and glorified. I'm reminded of Christ when he was transfigured on the mount. And it says his face, it shone like the sun. And his raiment was white as light. What was he revealing there to the disciples? That his abode is in heaven. And that's where they are as well. We know he went to heaven clothed with that new body. So that we too can now inherit our new nature, our new body. He's the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn of the resurrection. And that's why we should be conformed to his image, to his son. You read that in Romans 8:29. And the power which changed him is the power that's working within us. It says the exceeding greatness and the working of mighty power working within us for the purpose that he can have his family, that we can be together with him. It's got nothing to do with this world. This world is passing away and its lust. We have to look to see that Christ's resurrection was glorious, a divine power working. That he now sits at the right hand of the Father. He's the power of resurrection from the dead. He is the power. He is the source. He has triumphed and overcome at Calvary. And that is why when we get into prayers and intercessions and warfare and so forth, we look to Calvary. We look to what he's achieved. Your prayer life, your warfare should be from the heavens, not earthbound. I talked about that on Sunday, and if you didn't listen to that teaching Sunday, where we come boldly into the presence of God, and I spent time, I labored in that, what that boldness means. So that we can have confidence in our fellowship, our relationship with him, and in prayer. But we have to see where he is. And we don't always see where he is. We see him in our depression. We see him through the hardship we're going. We see him through our unbelief, or I missed it a mile off, or I'm down, poor me. No, he's not. He's not a part of that. He's above that. He's in the heavens. And he wants to raise you up so that you know you are seated with him in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. For the purpose to let our heavenly citizenship progress. And this is what it must do as I close now with this. It's got to prepare us. Because that is where we're going. That is where we're going to be seated with him soon. So look up as your redemption draws near. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the admonitions. Lord, forgive us that we can still so have our hearts and anxieties in this world. We still take this world too seriously. And we do not consider the world that we belong to, the kingdom that we belong to, which is in heaven. Raise our hearts, our affections, our devotions, everything and more. Raise it, Father, in your mercy and grace from this world into our heavenly citizenship. Where you have gone and prepared a place for each of us. Father, we thank you for this. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for those in the room. Bless, preserve, and keep them, Lord. And may they walk this walk as an overcomer. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.